Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Welcome back, News One Now. Today is July 10th, 2014. So glad to be with you. I'm Roland Martin. It's always good to share with you. You come across some stuff, and I want to talk about this on the radio side because it's pretty interesting. So, it really trips me out. When you see some of these comments, and I'm very curious to know what y'all think about this here. So Senator Harry Reid, said the other day he was talking about this Hobby Lobby decision dealing with contraception, and in his comments he said. The five white men who rendered the decision. The quote was, the one thing we are going to do during this work period, sooner rather than later, is to ensure that women's lives are not determined by virtue of five white men. This Hobby Lobby decision is outrageous, and we're going to do something about it. People are going to have to walk down here and vote. Now, the Supreme Court voted 5-4. I think it was 5-4 for Hobby Lobby. Here's the problem here. The problem is one of the five, it was a black dude. Now, and that's Clarence Thomas. So I'm curious to know from you, to get your perspective. Why, one, should you, even if you disagree with Clarence Thomas, is it wrong for Harry Reid to call Clarence Thomas a white man? And do you find that to be the ultimate insult for an African American? For somebody to call you white? For someone to say you're acting white? Do you find that to be the ultimate insult? Should Senator Harry Reid apologize for calling Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas a white man? 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. See, what is it about us when we call a black man a white man? What are we actually saying? What are we actually trying to suggest? Are we questioning their authenticity? Are we suggesting that they are not down for the cause? Are we saying that they don't have our best interests at heart? When that is stated, exactly what is it that we are trying to say? I really don't understand why Senator Harry would say that. I mean, clearly he was referencing Supreme Court justices. Clearly he knows that Clarence Thomas is black. And my deal is, even if you disagree with Clarence Thomas, he's still black. He is. Just like I'm not one to sit here and call President Bill Clinton the first black president, because he's not. But what is it when have you been called that? Have you had somebody black say that? Because it really is deemed an insult. You talk like a white girl. Oh, you think you white because of your grades? Oh. See, so it is clear that it becomes an insult, and it is designed as an insult to call somebody black white. Why do we do that? Have you had to be confronted with that? Have you been on at work and you've been in corporate America and you had black colleagues who questioned your blackness because of a decision that you made? Give me a call, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. What is it about us when it comes to questioning the blackness of somebody else by saying, you ain't nothing but a white guy or a white woman? 8 after the hour, this is News One Now with Roland Martin.
That's 877-373-9766. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin. We'll be right back.
14 of the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. So, folks, what do you make of what Senator Harry Reid had to say? But I want to expand. This because here you had Senator Harry Reid saying five white men made the Hobby Lobby decision when one of them is black and Clarence Thomas. But have you had to deal with that? Have you had to deal with somebody black saying you act white? And what does it even mean to act white? 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. I want to go to Irvine, California. Hazel is listening. Hazel, you're on listening via the internet. Hazel,
yes.
You're on News One Now. What's your thoughts?
Hi. I experienced that where my coworkers would call me Judy.
Whoa, Judy.
And I don't know what to say about that, but it was because I would always volunteer to take classes and to further my education as far as it had to do with my job description.
Right.
So my friend Rhonda would always say, Judy, are you going to class this Saturday? And I would always say, are they paying?
Right.
So because I wanted to learn more and be, I guess, fully involved in my job, I was being called Judy.
So did you see some kind of barrier, if you will? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, were they saying it to laugh, or were some folks saying, no, I think you acting a little white, Hazel?
I don't think anybody would ever accuse me of being white in any type of real situation. I think it was more along the lines of joking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, some people feel, and I can't say all people, but a lot of people that I've come across feel like, although they have a job, that particular job owes them something.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that they can actually get something out of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, to me, I call it adding to my resume. So if an employer is willing to add to my resume so that I can become more valuable along the line, then certainly I'm going to do that. And I don't think it has anything to do with being, quote unquote, white.
And look, the reality is we hear this even when it comes to our kids. And so when you are in school and
mm-hmm.
you can read very well,
mm-hmm.
you are smart. That has happened. I recall being in elementary school, and the same thing was said. You think you're white? No, I just think I'm smart.
Right. Well, my kids have gone through that as well, especially my son. He's been told that he talks white. My daughter, at her job now, they tell her that she's not black. She works in Georgia, as a matter of fact. They tell her she's not black. They ask her if she ever heard of Tupac. You know, things like that. Only because she speaks well.
Mm.
Well, she is smart, but
yeah. I mean, but it is as if. I mean, first of all, it kills me when somebody says that, because anybody who has listened to a Barbara Jordan, listened to a number of other folks. I mean, it's to me, it's nonsensical when that happens. But there's no doubt, Hazel. It is no doubt that it is intended as an insult.
Right. Exactly.
And it is intended to break that person down and say,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I laugh. I mean, it doesn't, no one can shake who I am. I'm very pro black.
Mm-hmm.
So call me Judy. Call me whatever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me. And I've always instilled that into my children, like, be yourself, whatever that may be.
All right.
But I know that it's easier to get a job when you speak well and you present yourself in an intelligent light.
But see, the deal is that still simply isn't being white.
Not at all.
That's just being smart.
Exactly.
All right, Hazel, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Thank you. Folks, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. I mean, this is real. This is real. I mean, we see it when it comes to our children, in terms of house. I was in Orlando, and I was was a woman. She was dating a guy. She was talking about how great this guy is and how wonderful he is. But she said the problem is he talks white and he acts white, and he's black, but he grew up around all white people, and he don't talk like a brother. I said, well, hell, didn't you say he was great and wonderful and he was all that sort of stuff? Like, yeah, but, and it was, I mean, it was bothering her. It was bothering her. So give me a call, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. This segment brought to you by Bahamas.com, your islands of the Bahamas dream getaway can be a reality. Go to Bahamas.com for more details or to book now. Call 1-800-BAHAMAS, 1-800-BAHAMAS. Single Artist Thursday, Anita Baker, playing all day, 20 after the hour. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
Our spirits know somehow. Ooh, baby, we can't stop the falling we feel.
The phone lines are open at 877-373-9766.
Don't mess with me on this topic now.
That's 877-373-9766. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Six after the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. What is it, this whole idea of acting white, talking white, someone saying that's what you are? Let's go to Fred in Atlanta, listening via WAOK. Fred, you're on News One Now.
Hey, Roland, how you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Hey, Harry Reid may have some issues with color anyway. Because remember, he was the one that said Barack Obama was accepted because
President,
he was like,
one thing, Fred. President Barack Obama. I respect the office. President Barack Obama.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, but that was before he was president.
Yeah, but then he was senator.
Yeah. I don't know how Harry said it. But as a black conservative, you know, I get told that I love white folks, hate black people, want to be white, think white all the time. But, you know, when my daughter switched from private school to public school, she was told that by the public school kids she talked white. And I don't have a problem with Ebonics, but you got to be able to code switch. And my daughter had learned to do that. You know, it's okay if you want to break it down when you're with your folks and you're in private and, you know, you're talking to each other. But it's the problem is when you can't code switch. And so many of the kids that I work with different programs. And even when they're trying to speak their best to be the most clear, most articulate, they don't know how to use standard English properly. And that's when it's heartbreaking. So it's okay to have your internal conversation that you have with your folks, but just have the ability to express yourself properly. And there's some things that is not,
Hold on, Fred.
Go ahead.
But I don't believe that speaking correct English is talking white. You said code switch. So,
well, yeah, I'm just saying.
Fred, hold on one second.
Go ahead.
What you are implying is that when you are speaking correctly, then you are talking white. So, therefore, when it's time to code switch, you can switch from your white self to your black self.
Well, if we want to call it a black stuff, we can say there's a kind of speech that you use when you're with your own folks, and there's a kind of speech you need to be able to use when you're in greater society trying to communicate.
But that is
and
not.
Everybody does that.
But that's not white. That's my point.
No, and I agree with you. I don't think there's such a thing as talking white. Proper white people don't actually own the English language, so speaking proper English isn't acting white. But if you want to break it down and be more casual in terms of your use of language, even in terms of your use of grammar, the whole deal, and be able to do that in certain instances and then turn it off in other, I don't have a problem with that. My problem is when people can't do that.
Gotcha. Well, but again, though, that to me, being casual and formal applies to you regardless of your ethnicity. I just want us to understand that turning it on does not mean I'm turning my white self on and then turning it off. Okay? I appreciate it.
Hey,
thanks for calling, bro. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Ron, also in Atlanta, listening via WAOK. Ron, you're on News One Now. What's up?
Yeah, now, a few years ago, I watched a movie called, I can't think of the name of the movie, but it was Danny Glover and Farrah Fawcett played in this movie.
It was the Tannenbaums. It was the, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Go right ahead.
It was a basketball player had just signed a multi-million dollar contract.
No. I know. It was the, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. But you remember Danny Glover said something in the movie that was striking, and the previous caller, that is one that want to be white, and I'm familiar with Fred. I'm not calling about him, but that's a prime example of blacks that want to be white. But Danny Glover made a statement in the movie that the people in the neighborhood, the people that moved next door, they are black.
Right.
And he was black himself.
Yeah, actually, the movie's called The Cookout.
Cookout, that's right.
The Cookout.
Now, but this is a prime example. And I'm going to call a couple other people out. Dr. Ben Carson, he belonged in the same faith I belong to. But once you make it big, instead of being a solution to the problem, he elevated the problem and made it outright wrong.
Hold on. But that has nothing to do. So are you saying that he's acting white?
Oh, yes, he is.
How is Ben Carson acting white?
Before Ben Carson became so politically, this man was a tremendous asset to the Sunday.
Wait. You are assuming. No, that ain't what happened. The difference is you didn't know his politics. All you knew about him was his surgical skills. He had the same beliefs then that he does now. You just didn't know he did.
This is true.
So let's not say he changed. No, he simply revealed more of his political thoughts, but it's the same Ben Carson when we were sitting here celebrating him for his foundation and his stories. We simply know more about him on his political beliefs, but he did not change.
Now let me say this, Roland. Did you notice that in his upbringing, This guy grew up in the project.
But hold on. First of all, I'm going to a break. You can finish your thoughts when we come back. Folks, give me a call, 877-373-9766. We're dealing with this notion of acting white. What does that even mean, acting white? And do we find it as an insult when someone calls somebody black a white person? This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
The phone lines are open at 877-373-9766.
Don't mess with me on this topic now.
That's 877-373-9766. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Mm-hmm.
23 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. What launched this conversation was this comment that Senator Harry Reid about five white men deciding the Hobby Lobby case on the Supreme Court, knowing full well that one of the men on the court is Clarence Thomas, who was black. And it got me to thinking about how labeling somebody black white is clearly an insult. And then that got me to thinking about how in the workplace we'll say so-and-so's acting white. Then we'll use it as an insult. Then we'll say, well, you're talking white as a student in school. Why do we do that? That's the question I'm posing to you right now. I want to go to Nate, listening via the internet from Chicago. Nate, you're on News One Now.
Hey, Roland, how you doing this
I'm
morning?
Doing great.
Great topic, and I got a great answer for you.
Go right ahead.
First of all, acting white. First of all, when it comes to talking, some of our most articulate black people, Dr. Martin Luther King, Harold Washington, Reverend Jesse Jackson, and Reverend Al Sharpton, to me, they sound black as you get, you know. But you got guys that grew up, like I was born in Mississippi, but I grew up in Chicago. You got guys that grew up in Mississippi, they go away to school, come back, in 4 years, they've been transformed. That's why we call them acting white. You know, you go away, you go to school, you come back to bring stuff back to your community, not come back and transform your community or yourself. You go to build yourself. You get, you know, I want to be like my father. I don't want to be like nobody, no other man. You get these foreigners, I'll give you a prime example. You remember Henry Kissinger, used to be Secretary of State or something?
Yeah.
This guy couldn't talk at all. You know, look at George Bush. This guy couldn't talk at all. You look at all these old guys, nobody ever accused them of speaking Ebonics or talking a certain way. But in each part of the country, you got the Western accent. You got the Eastern accent. If you live on the East Coast, you sound like California sound. If you live on like New Yorker sound. If you live on the West Coast, you sound like California. Guys from California sound. You
But you're describing parts of the country that is not based upon ethnicity.
Yeah, but I'm talking about if you get a guy, say.
But here's the deal, though. The point is that it goes to. When we say that you are talking white, you're sounding white, you are, I mean, that's a whole different, we know exactly what we're doing. We know it is designed as an insult the moment we say it.
Yeah, that's, you know, to me, you know, one of the things that attracted me to President Barack Obama, when I heard him speak, he sounded like a black man.
Okay.
So I already knew him and I already liked him. But if President Obama had came up sounding like another famous black man, he wouldn't have got my support.
Okay, you know what? Okay, do this here. Noni, I want y'all to find some audio of Deval Patrick.
I grew up with the guy I went to school with.
Okay,
I knew him quite well.
Is he black?
Very black.
Does he sound black?
Yes, he do.
I've heard some folks say he sound white.
I grew up with Deval Patrick. I grew up in Robert Taylor.
I know that. What I'm saying is, I've heard some people say he sounds like a white guy.
No, he sound black to me. Well, you know, that's probably their interpretation.
But that's precisely my point. I certainly appreciate it, Nate. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Ron calling from Atlanta, listening via WAOK. Ron, what's up? All right, Ron's not there. Sirius from Atlanta, listening via AOK. What's up?
Hey, Roland, what's up? That was a kind of a funny discussion you had there. I have a whole other perspective on this thing, because I would say that the larger majority of African Americans act white. And I don't base it on the language.
Hold on one second. The largest majority. First of all, that's redundant. The largest majority. It's either the majority or. So the majority. Okay, so you're saying the majority of African Americans act white.
Yeah, of course. How? Okay, I'll break it down to you. When you spend majority of your money outside the black community, when you get majority of your information from outside the black community, when majority of the people that you basically turn the authority to educate your children is outside the black community or lives outside the black community, then by default, you're going to be acting white. It has nothing to do with the way you speak, the way you dress. That can be said you're a professional or you're unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of homeboys and thugs that act white. And even in the hip-hop, the latest
thing. Well, hold on. You know a bunch of homeboys. Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They act white. Because it's not that black people are the only ones that speak that improper English or get tattoos or wear their pants sagging down. As a matter of fact, a lot of these hip-hoppers are mimicking rock and roll stars. A lot of them, even in the songs, I don't know if you listen to hip-hop, but they speak about white girls, and they use analogies of having certain things
that basically
white people, you know, value. Red bottom shoes. All these things, all the things that we do as African-Americans pretty much is dictated by white culture, and therefore we act white. Now, I'm not saying it to make an insult. I'm saying that to illustrate the conversation you and Fred had. Because if you even acknowledge that you have to code switch, that right there tells you something is wrong with your understanding of who you are. Like for me, I'm a black Hispanic, right?
Hold on one second. I gotta go to a break. You can finish your comment. We come back 16 before the top of the hour. The number to call is 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. This is News One Now, Roland Martin.
The phone lines are open at 877-373-9766.
Don't mess with me on this topic now.
That's 877-373-9766. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. She'll be all over in the
Before the top of the hour, welcome back, News One Now. I want to go back to Sirius from Atlanta. Finish your comment, please.
Hello? Can you hear me, Roland?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your comment.
Yeah. So like I was saying, when your culture and your reality and all these things are dictated to you by white people, by default, you will be acting white.
So do you act white?
Well, I have a culture that I identify with. I'm Central American, and that's the other point I was going to make. When you hear me speak Spanish, you can't say, well, I'm acting white.
Hold up. Just because you're from Central America, are you telling me that they're not for folks who are Hispanic?
No, I'm talking about me.
Okay, gotcha. So are you saying this? So you do nothing that's white?
I don't act white because I don't do the code switching that you and Fred was referring to.
No, first of all, I don't code switch. I do me.
Well, okay, fine. But when I say that I'm acting white, I participate in a program called 10-10-50, for example. I deliberately go out my way to spend money with African businesses.
Okay.
I volunteer in my community. I do things to invest in the black experience and the black community here.
Okay.
And not just the black, but the Caribbean community, which is my majority culture, and the Hispanic community.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is when you're consciously doing things to invest in your culture and in your identity, then you're not acting white because
gotcha.
White people don't consciously do that. But
okay.
when you're just... You see what I'm saying? So that's the point I'm trying to make is
okay.
that when you're constantly investing in black things and black people, then you're not acting white.
Okay,
but if you're not,
I gotta go. Hey, serious. I gotta go to the next call. I appreciate it.
All right, bro.
Thanks a lot, Rick from Cincinnati, listening via WDBZ 1230. What's up?
How you doing this morning, Roland?
Doing great.
Well, you know, the greatest insult to our own race is that when you say a person is acting white, and all he's doing is perfecting the English language, is an insult to those that want to try to communicate on that level with other folks. If they just so happen to sound like that, so be it. I mean, you sound real professional enough. And if someone was to say that to you, I say, no, when I hear Mr. Rowland on the radio, I hear his intentions of helping black folks, so I don't care how he sounds. The message is loud and clear, and I understand him. We should get away from that acting white type of mentality, period, because all we're doing is perfecting a language in which we're born and raised on this land, and we're just expressing ourselves where people can understand us without any question.
All
right. We don't need people keep saying we're ignorant and dumb when there's a lot of smart black people and Latino people around this country. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Hey, folks, the next hour, we got a fantastic lineup for you. One of the things we're talking to, we'll be talking to the reporter who got the exclusive interview with former New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, who said, I was set up and I am innocent. We'll talk to him when we come back. Also, we got our panel as well, looking for a great conversation. The president of Amnesty International will also join us. He says that the violence in Chicago should be declared a human rights issue. Also joining us, folks, of course, is What the Hell Thursday. We've got some crazy, wild topics to talk about. And, of course, the great Debbie Allen. She will be in the studio joining us as well. Looking forward to it. Lots of things going on. You can always hit me up at News One on Twitter or at Roland S. Martin on Twitter. Go to the News One Facebook page. You can go to my personal Facebook page as well to share more information with us. And so you can always give us a call at 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. My question of the day is, do you believe that Ray Nagin is in denial by blaming the feds on his conviction? Do you believe that Mayor Ray Nagin is correct or he is in denial by blaming the feds for his conviction on public corruption charges? That will be my question of the day in the next hour. Listen on this radio station. Watch on TV One. I will see you in 5 minutes right here on News One Now with yours truly, Roland Martin.